from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Today on the show, I guess we're going to talk about how we're still here, partially, and then we're going to talk about how I guess we have a new countdown for a disaster or something like that. And we're also going to be talking about something a lot more serious and fun and amazing in part of our... Remember that part in our podcast we used to do, I used to grab a headline from the news that I thought was interesting we talk about?
You mean all of the shows in the past that we used to do that all the time?
No.
Every episode?
No, not... No. No one even remembers the fact we did that, you see? And lots of new listeners don't even know that that ever happened. Because, I mean, how far back do you think most of them are going to go? Really, honestly.
I don't think it takes that far back before you start getting to back when we used to do headlines. There's nothing wrong with headlines. Headlines are the perfect launching point for new things of conversation. I mean, this whole rapture thing that we're going to be spending half the episode on came out of random headlines about it, and that got us talking about, you know, death cults and that stupid Revelation book and all sorts of fun stuff. Nothing wrong with headlines.
Fine. Nothing wrong with headlines. So we're going to have a headline show as opposed to some of the other segments that we've been experiencing. And you know, I think it's important to mention, I just thought about this just right now. I think it's important to mention, since there's so many new listeners, just to summarize the fact that shows will always be slightly different. Slightly. It's got an air of... what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of a... improvisation about it that we like to maintain. We're proud of it in a weird way, in a sick way.
Well, it's better than every episode. Like, I would hate it if the show had the exact same format all the time. That would drive me insane.
Yeah, it's true. We try to mix it up too, because you never know what format could work or what people really like. I mean, there's so many different varieties. We like to mix it up. But I will tell you one thing, though. Coming up next, this is the bonus podcast that's coming up next week. Just making a little announcement there for everybody that has been craving more Bible stories. I'm going to be doing Noah, so that's what's next. I don't know if you want to do Noah with me, or maybe I'll get Jeff or somebody else. But anyways, Noah's being done, so he's the next guy. He's got to be done. I figure I got to knock him off. Might as well do it for the next bonus show. So that to look forward to. Although, behind a patron wall, though, I got to be a dick about this one. I'm going to do it.
Well, you know, this is a perfect time to kind of encourage people to sign up, because just wanted to put it out there. We're looking into the idea of going to the amazing meeting.
Yeah, that's true. There is a contest available right now that a fan of the show sent, where you can submit a discussion that you want to feature at the amazing meeting. Now, I still haven't figured out what the hell I'm going to submit. And if there's anybody out there that's listening that wants to do it really badly, then I say go ahead, because I might not come up with something. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Like, it is a bit last minute.
Yeah. Just to let people know what the amazing meeting is, it's an annual atheist conference in Vegas from July, I think, 14th through 17th, something like that. And it's really big, really, really big, and we figure we should probably show up there sooner or later, check it all out, hopefully meet some of you atheist peoples, and have a lot of beer with you.
Well, it was one of those things where we put, you know, on the list of to-dos to say, well, you're successful enough to go to an event. I mean, that seems like a to-do. We went to an event when it was in our own town, and that's not really going to an event. That's just showing up when it's just offered to you. Like, we're talking about a real pilgrimage, if you want to use the word. So there is that delightful possibility lingering around.
The tickets are $500 a pop. So, yeah, if you want to help us along, sign up for a membership. The monies will be going towards that possibility.
That's a painful one. Well, hopefully they're enticed by the possibility of Noah. But let's move on to the show. Let's talk about... Harold Camping. So anybody that doesn't remember this, or in case you're just sort of going through and listening to this at some later date. Harold Camping had made a prediction that May 21st, 2011 would be the end of the world, or, well, basically essentially the rapture, that the faithful would be teleported Scotty style into heaven, where they, I think, actually have to escort Jesus back down after a little while, but not before a bunch of people get fucking killed. Like 99.999999% of like every human being is killed. So that lucky fun day was predicted, and obviously, as since we're still here, proved to be yet another of a string of failed prophecies. Surprise, ta-da, everyone. Who really is surprised? Well, other than the gullible folks that went along with this idiocy. And I'm really glad that we did the show today, just to say, because had we done this show yesterday, then I would have recorded something very different, because I was originally feeling kind of bad for Harold Camping. I put up a video of him, like, post, you know, like 2 days after he had just spent a couple nights in a motel with his wife, freaking out, I guess, and then shaken up, like, visibly shaken up. The camera's in his face, being like, do you want to make a statement? And he's like, no, please. So I was like, aw, he's a crazy old man. Aw, what have we done? We've broken a crazy old man. So that's how I would have just recorded that podcast. But it turns out that no, now crazy old man has said, I wasn't wrong. It's the spiritual rapture has happened. The end is really October 21st. And now you're like, come on, dude. Come on.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to feel bad for him when you see the pictures of him and the videos of him. And he's a decrepit old man. He is as close to a zombie as you're going to find on this earth. And
he doesn't look good. He does not look good.
He does not look good. And when you see him kind of bewildered and sad and confused that his Lord let him down, and that his insane poppycock, as I would like to call it for some reason, did not happen.
Poppycock? What does this mean exactly?
Don't question.
Oh, yes, yes, poppycock.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, that's an old... That is a fucking old term. Who uses that?
Probably this...
Fucking shoe shiner?
This camping guy, probably. This camping guy. That's how old he is.
He uses words like rube. That's how old he is.
But I would like to point out that we should not feel sorry for this person. If you... There are videos on YouTube of this guy and excerpts from his show. He is just one of the many evangelicals who is obsessed with homosexuality and how they're all going to burn. The guy is an ass face, and he is an idiot, and he basically bilked a whole bunch of people out of a lot of money so he could fund his stupid end of the world theory. So
I'll tell you one thing that I just I hate to love. Was when somebody asked him, what about all those people that sold their possessions or spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on your over 5,000 billboards nationwide? 5,000. Okay? And some like 20 RVs with this shit painted on them? I mean, like, I don't know how much money, folks, but it was a lot, all right? And it was most people's everything. And, of course, we could go around and be mocking them and be like, aha, those stupid idiots. But look at the world they live in. They live in a society that says, believing in this is good. You are a valuable member of society for believing in this nonsense. So exploitable. I mean, you're essentially infantilizing adults and then chastising them when they get fucking bilked out of their money by crooks. By fucking crooks.
I do wonder whether or not he can be sued.
I have no idea. I don't think so. And you know what? The whole thing is, I was reading some articles where someone was asking him, well, how are people supposed to pay for this? And he's like, well, it's the recession. People have bounced back. They'll cope. I'm like, wow. That's really good advice. That's good advice. Cope for what? Until October? When that non-thing happens again? I'm like, dude, how many before finally that crooked old black heart of yours just fucking fails and we can just be done with you? You can just be another fucking note, like another Millerite, another dude who just goes around fucking telling everyone, give up your possessions, abandon your families, give up on your dreams, everyone. Rapture's coming. It's going to be awesome. Everyone's going to die. You're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then you're like, well, what the hell is wrong with you, this whole society that just keeps paying attention to you? And I mean, I hate being hypocritical, because part of that But I like to think we're in response to that. I don't create Harold Campings. I don't create those fucking phenomenons.
What I like is the wider group of people. The people that said, the religious people that said, oh, Harold Camping is crazy. The rapture's not happening on May 21st. No one can know when the rapture will happen, but I'm sure it will happen. Eventually it will, though. I'm like, look, it doesn't matter if you pretend you know the date or you don't know the date, but you still think it will happen. You're equally stupid in my book.
Well, you're just as susceptible. I'm like, no one can know when this awful, wonderful thing happens. It's like, gosh, no one can know. Yeah, no one can know when your terrible disaster is going to happen. I mean, I hate to be one of those people that says, here's a likely scenario. It's not a likely scenario. It's a nightmarish scenario. But in my nightmarish scenario, someone who believes in this stuff pretty fucking hard decides, and who's in a position where they can influence things, decide, I think it's time. I think my calling is to begin to annihilate the human race. You know, begin that process, and it'll just... then Jesus will come back if all of those events happen, if I make those events happen. You know, it's just, this is horrible. This is disastrous and not at all surprising if that was to happen, is it? It's not like any of us would be like, wow, I didn't see something like that coming. We'd all be like, well, we didn't think it was that possible, and if it happened, we would really be kicking ourselves in the ass. But hey, there's no fucking second place prize with existence. You either win or you lose. And any time we deal with these kinds of fucking crazies, we're bound to lose. This is a no-win situation for anyone. These are delusional people that want to tell you about the universe. And in their universe, Earth is the center of it, and it's on its way to destruction any moment now. Oh, this is great. Like, don't make plans, everybody. And that's why they're all susceptible to it. They're like, well, yeah, I partially believe it. I partially believe that Jesus is coming within my lifetime. So as soon as somebody says something that, I don't know, speaks to you for some weird reason, because you don't have a lot of critical faculties, you haven't lived in a society which really kind of made that a virtue. So you're very susceptible. But I hate this blaming the victim shit. I mean, do you think it's easy to get money out of people? It's not always that easy. You really have to fucking lie to them pretty goddamn hard to get them to give you that much.
Yeah. And you got to figure, I mean, when you start predicting the end of the world, that's to me where you really pass from being a religion to a cult. And we see it all the time. How many times were those Christian, have we heard of Christian cults that predict the end of the world and everything goes horribly wrong in the end? What is it? Jonestown did that, didn't they?
Well, not even just Christian. Well, they weren't... I mean, this is the problem here. They're not necessarily Christian, but it's just... Why make the distinction, right? It's a religion among others. And their religion has this strong focus on this end-of-the-world stuff, particularly in Christianity, but in many other religions. There is... Let's not deny that I think that there's part of us that are kind of secretly obsessed with our own destruction. I mean, how many disaster porn movies have we made in our lifetime? How many times have you watched the White House blow up?
It's getting a little bit tired, actually.
Yeah, no, that's why no terrorist wants to blow up the White House now. It's just fucking tired. It's like, seen it already. It's boring.
There was a while where blowing up New York was not acceptable in disaster movies, understandably after 9/11. It's just people didn't like it. Does not test well. So they really took a hard-on to blowing up San Francisco over and over and over. And I don't know if there was any like latent anti-gay sentiment to that, but I mean, in X-Men, they tear the shit out of the Golden Gate Bridge. And God, I had a big list of movies where they wreck San Francisco over and over and over. It gets messed up. I think even the new Star Trek movie, the reboot... San Francisco is going to eat it.
Yeah, but that's not fair. That's not fair because it was based there in the prior movies. So they're just trying to maintain continuity. I don't think that there's anything right there, at least not in Star Trek. Come on, man. You're going to pull that card?
I'm just saying that San Francisco became the new place to destroy after New York became hands-off.
And then when also it has some kind of crazy... disaster, but probably more of a natural disaster, all of those movies will seem really kind of disgusting and sick in a way. Revisiting that world, oh well. But that's what I mean, right? We're kind of we created that. We like to see it in a weird sense. So I think that there is a part of us, maybe there is a self-termination part of us that we're not really willing to accept. There are some people that just shut it off. Your body will shut off sometimes. It'll just happen. And, you know, your body just gives up. I think there can be a system-wide shutdown. And maybe that plays off in different ways. Maybe that kind of plays off in the way that our society functions and grows. And maybe these kinds of thoughts, these dark, horrible, nightmarish thoughts, essentially what we would call a death spiral in game theory. These death spirals, you need to make sure that they don't happen. And eschatology, the obsession with the end of the world, that's a death spiral, okay? There's no hope there. This is a fucking black hole of death. It waits us all if we don't fucking shake it off, you know? Shake it off, everybody. Shake the shit off.
Yeah, it's hard to make plans for the future when you're dealing with people who think that there will be no future. It's like, oh, don't worry about how the environment's going to be in 50 to 100 years from now. We're all going to be raptured up with Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not, and we're not all drinking your Kool-Aid. So guess what? We're not quite happy with it. I like my life. I want to stick around for as long as possible. Your paradise sounds like hell to me. I want no part of it. No part of your fucking paradise. Be like, go up to heaven and enjoy watching the eternal suffering of others. Sick fucks. All right, let's talk about some of this a bit more cheery, huh? Let's talk about. Because the whole time of the whole rapture thing, I guess the part that annoyed me was simultaneously something cool was going on. It got talked about, but, I mean, not really as much. Where there was a probe that was sent up into space in 2004 called the Gravity Probe. And it was able to study some aspects of Einstein's theory of relativity. Now, here's the deal. Science is a cumulative process. We all understand that. We send things into space to find out whether or not we're wrong or right or what the hell happens. We don't always know what's going to occur. When something comes back and says, okay, the predictions are right, in a sense, sometimes it makes us feel safe. We would be even more excited if the predictions had potentially been wrong. It makes Einstein seem all the more amazing, which only, I guess, makes us deify him, which is probably a bad idea. But The thing I guess I like about or dislike about the entire event around is that this is the stuff that really got ignored, where you're like, science marches on while everybody else is talking about this nonsense, but this is the stuff that's really interesting. This is the stuff that, you know, you sit down and have a conversation with someone, a real conversation, and as soon as you mention that, like, everybody's ears are glued to what the fuck you're saying. Who isn't really curious about that unless their mind is completely fucking closed? But yet we have to deal with rapture nonsense instead.
So what exactly did this probe confirm of Einstein's?
Oh, well, what it found was that, you remember how they, in that model they tell you to think about when you're trying to imagine space and time being intertwined, they're like, imagine a big floppy mattress, right, where you have bowling balls in them and how they curve, right? So the space around it curves. So what they detected was the distortion of space, the warping of space around Earth. And also what they noticed was something they called frame dragging. See, it was something that was predicted when Einstein first tried to imagine, well, is there a cosmic speed limit, right? And he decided, well, light is a cosmic speed limit. But then he thought about, well, how does gravity work if that's true? Because if you were to imagine, let's say, the Earth revolving around the sun, and then the sun disappearing, if gravity worked the same way that Newton had predicted, which meant that it was instantaneous, like the effect was instantaneous, that means that if the sun would disappear, the Earth would feel it right away, and that would mean that there was a force that traveled faster than the speed of light. So he was like, well, that can't be right. So instead, he devised this idea that it was the space that was curved, and essentially, if the sun were to disappear, the curvature of space would travel at the same speed that light would travel at, because of, well, this that's the cosmic speed limit. Nothing can go faster than that. And that's what they found, that space does appear to warp around heavy objects and also do that effect that I was talking about. Like if the sun was just disappearing, there would be this kind of frame dragging effect where slowly the force would dissipate at a particular rate. So this is what they found. They found this using the probe. They're like, well, this confirms that space appears to be warped by gravitational by mass. But everything does that. But, you know, you have to get some pretty big to be able to measure it. So, and they probably had to spend quite a bit of time doing it because, I mean, anytime you make these kinds of calculations, they're tiny, minuscule effects. You know, the Earth may be heavy to us, but it is a lightweight compared to what's out there. Lightweight. I was reading this, The Portable Atheist, and there's a foreword by Christopher Hitchens, and in it he said that there's a kind of a Faustian bargain with religion that we make. We trade in a feeling of insignificance for one of comfort and centrality. But in so doing, I think that it's a devil's bargain. Even if religion was good, it would still be a poisonous thing because I find insignificance to be liberating. I don't know about you, but to realize that you yourself is insignificant, anytime you feel really a great deal of pressure from things or stuff's piling up, you know, looking up at a night sky full of stars is probably the single most relaxing thing you can ever do to realize just how insignificant you actually are. The funny thing too, and I guess this was another simultaneous discovery that they were talking about because they were doing further research on dark matter and dark energy, and they're starting to find that the universe is actually expanding faster than it should. Like galaxy clusters should be coalescing at a more rapid rate than they are, but in actual fact, space around them is expanding a little bit faster all the time. And it turns out that there's so much more dark energy and dark matter out there than there is physical matter, the stuff that makes you and me. Then it makes you realize that even when it comes to stuff, you know, whenever you hear a person saying like, oh, we are a tiny speck on a galaxy in a universe and blah, blah, and you're like, even that stuff, the stuff that really impresses us, the shit that explodes and destroys and where things live, that's like 4% of the universe. It's like the who cares part. You're an insignificant part of the building blocks of the universe. Feel even more insignificant, person. It's like that's humbling.
I prefer to say that the universe is grandiose and amazing rather than concentrating on my own insignificance. I can cope with the insignificance. I don't really care about it. It doesn't bother me. You know, the universe has existed for billions of years. It will continue to exist for billions of years after me, and I am down with that. But, you know, I prefer to look at that as an amazing, awesome, grandiose thing than anything else.
Because there's a lot about the universe that we don't know. Like, say in our any piece of matter that exists is like you or me or this microphone or this headset that you're listening to. There's a particle out there that's kind of its opposite, waiting to just annihilate it at some point. Maybe. I don't know. Kind of makes you also just remember the fragility of the stuff that you're made of. But I think the reason I think it's liberating is because any time where there are some very significant things that are happening, even around us, we don't have to stress too much about it because we are insignificant. So, don't worry. It'll all be over soon. The universe is going to tear itself apart. So, and we'll be able to mourn it for the brief period that we're alive, and then just all of us lost as it's ripped apart. So celebrate the internet, not internet. Celebrate the universe while you can, everybody.
Celebrate the internet because you can learn a lot about the universe. How about that?
Yeah, I like that. That covers up my failure very nicely. You are a valued member of this crew.
I do my best.
Don't let anyone ever tell you different. You're doing your best. You know what? I think we're going to make it a quick show today. I want to concentrate stuff on putting up more posts. I feel like I want to put a little bit more on this whole Herald camping situation that we just talked about because it's, I don't know, I feel bugged by it. I really do. I mean, he has no remorse. What are we going to do come October? Having to deal with this again? Like, how can we ensure that this is all over? How can we do this? How can we do this?
Well, you know, stupid people will always say stupid things, and people will pay attention to the extremely stupid things stupid people say. And there's nothing really to be done about that except just laugh and enjoy it. I mean, I thought that it was the entire thing. I'm kind of sick and over it now, but it was pretty fun while it lasted. I enjoyed it. It was a fun little ride. I feel bad for the dude who blew, you know, $150,000 of his money on the signs, and I feel bad for that guy in Nigeria who killed himself, and I feel bad for that woman who tried to murder her two daughters because she thought the end days were here. But
Those people. But aside, I mean, really, the consequence of this kind of thing.
Yeah. Aside from when you look too closely and you see all that ugliness, there was a lot of really fun graphics and stories and jokes. We had a lot of fun rapture stuff. I hope some people went out and did some rapture drinking. I hope people did that.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. When you have a really big party, there'll be a few people that die. Is that a good party unless someone dies?
Oh, you know, anytime you're dealing with large numbers of people, there's always going to be some death.
Or two. We're not quite as chaotic as we seem. We're mostly docile and stupid, which is good news, I guess. Maybe. No, it could actually be really bad news. It'd like be kind of kill us all. Oh well, that's a very cheery show. So I think we're going to wrap it up. Reminding everybody that if you love what we do and you want to help support us, there is a patronage system. You get access to all of our shows, the back catalogs of it, and you get one show a week for the next year. So it's a pretty good deal for $1.67 a month. Yeah, so for $20 a year, it's all that, plus all this cool stuff that's going to be coming later. We promise it, but we generally slowly deliver. We're like Domino's, except for we make a one-year delivery guarantee, not 30 days or 30 minutes. Sorry. We go at our speed, I guess. What speed is it? What is the speed of failure, generally?
Ask Einstein.
I will, and then I will confirm his theories using probes. We'll catch everybody for the bonus show on Thursday with that. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.